Great to see you this morning. As you gather in and you find a seat, it's been exciting the last few weeks as God's drawn more people into our church family on Sunday mornings. And so if you always want to find a seat, you can find one by moving up and moving in. You'll find a seat, I promise you. So it's good to have you as we've come to worship the Lord this morning. In a few moments, we're going to sing. And then after that, we're going to open up His Word as we continue our study through the book of what? Acts. God is at work. So glad to have you here. Hopefully you have a program. You'll notice inside of that, fellas, what is it, 2 weeks, Pastor Kevin, from this weekend? Men's Advance right here, Friday, beginning with dinner through lunch on Saturday, but some workshops we're going to have for you, an interactive time grasping God's Word. How to do that? Why do that? Some tips to do that. When I learned to do that a number of years ago, totally altered my life. Changed the direction of my life. Opened up doors that I never would have understood without God's wisdom, God's will impacting me through His Word. So we want to help you grasp that, guys. But please sign up in the foyer today, because we want to have material and food for you. And so there's a fee associated with that too. Just check out your program and you will see that. Ladies, you have it on your calendar, right? Something's coming for you as well in early May. Well, if you're a guest today, if it's your first time with us, we're really glad that you're here. We didn't know you, but we've been praying for you. Always praying that God would bring more folks, that they might connect with our church family, get to know others, that we might serve you and know how to come alongside and be a friend to you, a church family to you. Do us a favor. At the end of the service, would you enter into the cafe? There is a welcome booth in there. Some friendly folks will hand you a gift bag simply saying thank you for being with us. There's a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you. If you would fill that out sometime during this morning's service, and as you go into that cafe, to the welcome booth, if you would drop off that card, we'd be glad to follow up with you, answer any question you might have, or simply look to encourage you. We're very glad that you're here. If you have questions, we will be glad to answer them for you. Well, Open Arms, you have walked with discernment and wisdom, I was going to say for 12 years, but it's much longer than that. But 12 years ago, we began a deacon ministry. The word deacon means servant, one who ministers to others. And this morning, we want to honor 4 deacons and their wives who are rotating off their term of service. And so as they come up, I'm going to ask them to come up, Tom and Phyllis, John and Donna, Joel and Ruth. You see how they're all running? And Will and Victoria, please join us up front here, and Danielle. Danielle is not one of the deacons. She's actually my wife, and so thank you for helping me. And so 2 of you are going to join us over here, John and Donna. Thank you. And they've all prepared their speeches. Is that right? They're going to go running off right now. But I'll tell you, they have served you, church family, us as pastors, and before God with just excellence and humility and sacrificial service, both by their hearts and their hands. And we are grateful for them. Tom and Phyllis, 12 years, if you would hand one of those to them. There you go, sir.
Thank you.
They have served from the very beginning as deacon and wife. At our last deacons meeting in December, fellow deacons had an opportunity to express their gratefulness and how they saw these men walk alongside however long their term was to serve. And I'm going to share with you a word or two of summary that would describe each one of these men. For Tom and Phyllis, the words that stood out were faithful and consistent. Thank you. John and Donna. 12 years, John has served as a deacon, Donna alongside him. Again, examples of humility and sacrificial service. John, the words that your fellow brothers described you as, compassionate and caring. You are emotional. Yeah, there he goes. There you go. Somebody have a tissue, please. Okay. Just has a big heart and served well those who had needs. Joel and Ruth Hecht. The words that would describe your 3 years of service, Joel, were joyful countenance and servant heart. Thank you for your service to us and to the church family. And for Will and Victoria Kent. The words that described you, Will, by your fellow brothers were a prayerful intercessor and encourager. So we thank you for your service. I want to share a couple of scriptures because, again, you just nominated other deacons, and some of these deacons were renominated, but they've chosen to step back and say, you know what? I'm not going to serve this time. Let others step up and serve as God leads. And so just in this process, just want to encourage you for how you sought the Lord, how you prayed, how you examined the scripture. Some words from 1 Timothy chapter 3. Deacons likewise must be dignified, not double-tongued, not addicted to much wine, not greedy for dishonest gain. They must hold the mystery of the faith with a clear conscience. And let them also be tested first. Then let them serve as deacons if they prove themselves blameless. Their wives likewise must be dignified, not slanderers, but sober-minded, faithful in all things. Paul would write to the church at Colossae, and this is something that you as a church have experienced, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Josh, and myself have experienced, and the fellow deacons. He writes, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you. And so we testify that these men and their wives have worked hard for you, Open Arm Church, because they love you. And they've worked hard with the power and the grace of God. Join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your idea of the local church. Thank you for your idea of this office of deacon. Thank you that you unpack for us the character and the qualities and the heartbeat and hands of a deacon and his precious, faithful wife. And thank you for these men and their wives and how they have served you faithfully, served us faithfully, and they've worked hard because of their love for you, their love for us, empowered by your grace and by your strength. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you remain standing and sing with us?
I believe you gave sight to the blind. I believe that the dead came to life. I believe there were wonders and signs. You're still the same. I believe every word that you say. I believe there are scars in your hands. That your goodness is good without end. You'll never change. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always, your mercy is my age after age, all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always, always.
I believe you have come in the clouds. I believe you are here even now. In your presence, I know there is power, power to save. I will tell of your wonders, sing of your grace. God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Mighty, age after age, all generations bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always, you were, you are, you always will be God. Your grace, the God of creation knows me by name. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always, your mercy is mighty, age after age, all generations bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always. Always, you were, you are, you always will be God. You were, you are, you always will be God. Yes, you always. Age after age, all generations will bow down and praise. The Lord is faithful, yesterday, now, and always.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hand. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God.
All my life.
as we gather this morning, Lord, our confession is that it's not that we are good, Lord, but that you are good, that you have been good to us in spite of us being not good all the time to each other or to you. But Lord, we thank you that you made a way for us to approach you, to sing to you, to hear from you, that you sent your Son for us, who was good but died for those who aren't, so that we could experience the goodness of God. Lord, we thank you, and we open your word this morning. Thank you, God, that you have been good enough to speak to us. You have been good enough to work in our world, and from the very beginning when you left the world, that your creation is in, that you work, and you work in the hearts of people. Lord, thank you for this book that we open, and we see what you've done in the past in faith, knowing that you do the same things today. Lord, we ask you to speak to us this morning, and we pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat?
Good morning. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you waiting for something? If you're watching from home, don't worry. There wasn't a glitch. You didn't lose your audio. Was that a little awkward? Right? A little uncomfortable? I did that intentionally to prove a point. That waiting is uncomfortable. Silence is awkward. When we don't know what's coming, or even more so when we don't know when it's coming and we're just waiting, it's hard. It's difficult. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. Over the last couple weeks, as we studied Acts chapter 1, we saw that some of Jesus' closing instructions to his followers were to wait. It started when he went up to heaven, and if you recall, they stood there watching him go. Now what? They were already wondering. And then they were reminded that Jesus told them to go to Jerusalem and to wait, and he will send power from on high. And they said, okay. And they waited. And the hours turned into days, and the days turned into a week, and the calendar continued to turn, and they were still just waiting. They weren't quite sure for what, and they certainly didn't know exactly when. Well, as those days went by of them waiting, the calendar fell to a holiday, a religious holiday, Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is a name that we might know. It's a Greek name for a Jewish festival. For the Feast of Weeks, which was a religious holiday that the Jews, that the Israelite nation had celebrated for thousands of years. It was something that happened every single year, and Pentecost was the Greek name for that particular festival, for that Feast of Weeks. And about 10 days after Jesus had ascended, after he had returned to heaven, about 120 of Jesus' followers gathered together, just like they'd done every other year, to celebrate the Feast of Weeks, which was a celebration remembering God's provision for them. Just like they had done every other year, just like you and I might do with Thanksgiving or Christmas or other holidays like that, they got together and it seemed like every other Pentecost that they had ever celebrated. Except this particular Pentecost would be unlike anything that any of them had ever experienced or that the world had ever experienced. Follow along with me as I read. Acts chapter 2 is our passage this morning. If you have your Bible, follow along with me there. It's also in the prayer room as well. Acts chapter 2, we're going to be looking at the first 21 verses this morning. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude, the crowd, came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God." And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. For these people are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." It's 9 a.m. "No, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel." And then Peter quotes Joel. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes, the great and magnificent day. And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." God's people had been waiting and waiting and waiting for this event much longer than just those 10 days that the disciples were waiting. When I stood up here this morning and I was silent, that was for 10 seconds, and that might have felt like an eternity to some of you. But it wasn't just 10 seconds, it wasn't just 10 days, it wasn't just 10 years, it was generations and centuries that God's people had been waiting for this day. Joel was not the only Old Testament prophet that talked about this day coming. Others, like Isaiah and Ezekiel, had talked about it. Even as far back as Moses, thousands of years earlier, Moses had longed for the day when this would happen. And suddenly, if you will, without warning, the wait was over. In verse 16, what Peter was accurately proclaiming, in essence, he was saying, "Friends, those here, this crowd, this is it. The wait is over. It's here. This thing that the prophets have talked about, that God has promised for centuries, it's happening right now." And the way in which God fulfilled that promise was truly awesome. Did you notice as we read through this passage together? Look now in the text. Notice the emphasis on the dramatic responses and the particular adjectives that God inspired Luke to use as he recounted this story. In verse 2, it says, "Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house." In verse 6, look at the people's reactions. They were bewildered. They were amazed. They were astonished. In verse 12, again we see the word amazed. They were perplexed. This was mind-blowing and amazing to them. The wind was amazing. Again, verse 2, "Suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind." The sound was so profound that You couldn't even really categorize what it was, but it was like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. When was the last time that you ever saw wind fill a house? Or sound fill where you live? And yet, that's in essence what happened here. This wind was so amazing that it filled the house. This sound filled the house. Likely it reminded them of other times, such as to Job, such as to Elijah, such as to Ezekiel, that God appeared through a mighty wind. And this sound was so tremendous that, did you see in verse 6? It brought the whole city out. The whole multitude heard this. And they left whatever they were doing, and they're like, what was that? What is going on? The wind was amazing. What appeared over the heads of Jesus' disciples was amazing. Verse 3, divided tongues as of fire. Again, something like fire, not literally fire that would burn their hair, but something like that. That was the closest description. It appeared to them and rested on each one of them. That was amazing. Verse 4 is amazing. These tongues are amazing. They were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What were these tongues? We see in the very next paragraph. Suddenly, they had the ability to speak in all these languages that they had never spoken before. There was no Rosetta Stone. There was no Google Translate. Just they opened their mouth, and all of these other languages that other people instantly recognized as their own suddenly came out. This was incredibly amazing. The reaction that those people had back then is the same reaction that you and I should have today. It's the aim, it's the purpose, it's what you see in your program, is that you and I, just like them, ought to be amazed by the Spirit's purposeful arrival. When we read this passage, what ought to stir up within us is a sense of amazement at the Spirit's purposeful arrival. What's one of the most amazing moments that you personally have ever witnessed? Give you a second to think about that. What's one of the most incredible things, one of the most amazing moments that you've ever seen, that you've ever witnessed? Perhaps when that happened, you wondered to yourself, how is this possible? Picture that event. Maybe you wondered, what is happening right now? How am I seeing this? Maybe, like the crowd in verse 12, you asked this question, the title of our message this morning, what does this mean? What is this? What does this mean? We might wonder a similar question today. What does this mean? Does this mean that we should expect things like this to happen every time we get together? That every time we gather together as followers of Jesus, that we should be listening for this mighty rushing wind? That we should see little things like fire over each other's heads, that suddenly we should all start talking in a whole bunch of foreign languages? Does this mean that that's what we should expect? The answer to that is no. Remember, Pastor Kevin so helpfully introduced for us a couple weeks ago that as we go through this book of Acts together, so much of Acts is descriptive rather than prescriptive. It describes what did happen more than it prescribes what should always happen. That's how we should understand this. This is a record of a one-time historical event. It's not something that we should expect or be disappointed about if we leave service this morning and we didn't see this happen. No, this was something that happened back then, and yet we can still be amazed today that this did happen back then. Maybe as you're sitting here this morning, as you're watching this, maybe you're asking the what does this mean question in a slightly different way. Maybe you're asking what does this mean in the sense of what is this, how is this relevant to me today? How is this relevant to us? What does this have to do with me and my life, and how does it relate to my friends? What does this mean? What's the point? Well, hopefully, this passage gives us the answers to that. It's the two things we want to look at this morning. Number one, what does this mean? It means that God's message is for all people. What does this mean back then? What does it mean still today? How does that help us? How is that relevant today? It means that God's message is for all people. Many of Jesus' first followers were from the region of Galilee. We saw that in verse 7. But the good news of God's intervention wasn't just for Galileans. Jesus had already commissioned his disciples to be his witnesses where they were and to the ends of the earth. But first, God brought the ends of the earth to them. Notice in this passage the amount of detail that is given to geography, to places that as we read them today, we may not be familiar with. But did you see in verses 9 through 11 how much time, how much detail is given to all these different regions, all these different people groups? If we looked at the globe today, in our terms, this list would include peoples from places as far away from Jerusalem as Iran, as Iraq, as Turkey, as Northern Africa, as Italy, as Greece, as Saudi Arabia, and more. Verse 5, now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. People from all over, from very far away. This is a long journey to get there. Some of these places represented, this would have taken perhaps weeks to get to Jerusalem, and yet they were present when this happened. Verse 6, at this sound, that entire multitude came together, and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it then that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Suddenly, it began to make sense why Jesus had them wait. It began to make sense why Jesus had told his disciples to wait. It makes sense why they had to wait those 10 days. It wasn't random. It wasn't God just wanting to draw it out and just make them feel uncomfortable and just develop their patience. No, it was very specific. It was God's perfect timing. It was God waiting until the celebration of Pentecost when people from all over the known world would be gathered here in Jerusalem to be present, to observe this event happen, to hear about it, to hear it explained, and then to bring that message back to their own homeland. The waiting was not random. It was very incredibly purposeful. They were, you and I today can still be amazed by the Spirit's purposeful arrival, including his timing of when he did that. God's message is for all people, and there's two applications that we can take away from that. Here's the first. Because God's message is for all people, don't ever think that you're excluded. Because God's message is for all people, don't ever think that you are excluded or that anyone you know is excluded. In God's kingdom, there's no social hierarchy. There's no room for racism, for discrimination. There's no entrance exam that you have to pass. There's no admission fee that you have to pay. We are all condemned because of our sin, but we are all freely offered the gift of righteousness that Jesus bought through his blood on the cross. That free gift is available to everyone. And there's no room for segregation or separation because of that. Maybe you, now, or at some point in your life, maybe those you know have wondered, are wondering, how can I be sure of that? How can I be sure that God's message is for me? How can I be sure that God loves me? How can I be sure that God's offer of forgiveness is for me? Do you know what I've done? Do you know where I've been? Do you know what goes through my mind sometimes? How can I be sure that God actually wants me to hear and to respond to his good news? I have not heard him speak. Let me share a true illustration with you. A number of years ago, after my wife and I got married, we took our honeymoon to Italy. Had a fantastic time. It's a beautiful country. And while we were there, we We didn't stay in one spot. We traveled around to a bunch of different places within Italy. One particular day, we were traveling from Sorrento, which is on the Amalfi Coast, and we were heading up to Venice, to Venezia, for you Italians in the room. And we were traveling through Naples, or Napoli, for you Italians in the room. And we had to transfer trains in Naples. And while we were waiting in the train station in Naples, an announcement came over the loudspeaker in Italian. Heather and I don't speak Italian. We didn't understand what was being said, but we could observe. And all around us, to a person, and people are arguing with each other, and people are raising their voices, and people are shouting, and the announcement finished, and it was done. And Heather and I are standing there like, okay, not sure what's going on, but judging by people's reactions, this is not good. We pull out our Italian-English translator. We're like, do you recognize any of those words? They didn't have Google Translate back then. They just had a book, right? And no idea. Everyone on all the platforms, all the tracks, everyone is leaving the train station. And we're standing there. And as people are passing us and they're arguing and venting and just look really upset, we're asking, English, English, English? No, 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 no. And then suddenly, amidst all the chaos, amidst all the arguing, amidst the noise of all the suitcases clacking down the platform, we heard something that sounded familiar. English. And we located the source, and here these three women were walking, and they were sisters, and we run up to them. You know English? Yes, yes. Ah, okay. Do you know what's happening? And they knew enough Italian to know what was happening. And they shared with us that what had happened was that the railroad workers had gone on strike, and they were laying down on the tracks. So there were going to be no trains for a long time. The rest of the story is adventurous, real quick. Because sometimes I leave you all with cliffhangers, and then you come up to me after, and you're like, what was the end of the story? So I'll tell you really quickly. So we caught a ride with them up to Florence, and then there the trains were running. We got the rest of the way to Venice. We didn't get there till like 2 a.m. It was a super long day, but incredible story. Anyway, that's not the point. The point is this, that if you're hearing this message right now, that if you open up God's word and you hear him speaking to you, listen, that is God cutting through the chaos, cutting through the noise, cutting through the confusion, speaking directly to you in your own language. If you have heard God's voice, or if you're hearing this right now, it is God speaking to you, saying, I want you to hear my good message, my good news, my gospel. It is for you. God's message is for all people. And incredibly, right now, as we sit here and have this conversation in English, God is doing that all over the world in all different languages right now to all people. God's message is for everyone. Therefore, don't ever think, don't ever feel, and don't let anyone that you know think or feel that you are excluded. God's message is for all people. There's a second takeaway. Once we've responded to that message, once we've understood that gospel, we don't keep it to ourselves. God's message is for all people, so we don't need to feel excluded, but then once we understand it, we also don't keep it to ourselves. The Spirit didn't empower these disciples in this way so that they could get famous, so that a YouTube video of this event could go viral. Okay, I guess they didn't have YouTube back then. That's not why he came. The Spirit came so that a multi-ethnic crowd would, in the words of verse 11, would hear in their own tongues, in their own languages, that they would hear the mighty works of God. What does this mean? This wasn't just a cool moment. This wasn't just something to write about and to tell your friends about. It was purposeful so that many from all nations would hear God's message. Be amazed by the Spirit's purposeful arrival. Reflecting on this passage this week, it sobered me. I invite you to consider this question as well. is how often do we pause long enough to think about, to consider this incredible gift of the Spirit that God has given to us? Especially as a believer for a longer time, do we just kind of take that for granted? Do we become complacent about how truly amazing this is? That God sent His Spirit to His people that we might be empowered to carry out His mission that He has given to us. That should blow our minds, just as it did for the crowd back then. Let's consider that. And as we consider that, we can't help but be motivated. We can't help but be inspired. We can't help but be prompted to be reminded that we should do whatever we can to tell others about this incredible gift. When we're amazed by the Spirit's purposeful arrival, when we're amazed by how God works, we can't keep it to ourselves. Even if people think you're weird, even if people think you're strange, testify anyway. In verse 13, some people threw an accusation that they were drunk. Some people might have, or they maybe in the future will, throw some accusation at you. Doesn't matter. When we have this good news, it's too good to keep to ourselves. God's message is for all people, so let's not hold it back, even if people might think we're a little crazy in the head. That's okay. Verse 12. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Here's our second answer to that question. It means that the time to respond is now. This was true for them back then. It meant that for them, the time to respond was now, and therefore it's even more true for us today. What does this mean? It means that the time to respond is now. Verse 16, Peter said, this is not drunkenness. This is not some crazy thing. It's only 9 a.m. They're not drunk yet. This actually is a fulfillment of prophecy. This is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Ever since Jesus ascended, for them then and for us today, ever since Jesus returned to heaven, we have been, they were, we are in the last days, which is a time span between Jesus' ascension and before he returns. Those are the last days. Why is it important to recognize that, to know that? Well, Peter's quote reminded them and us what the next big event is. Verse 19, God said, "I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the day of the Lord comes." The great and magnificent day. That day is Judgment Day. That day is the end. That day is the when God permanently removes all evil that has ever existed. It's a great, it's a magnificent, it's a fearsome, it's an awesome, it's an incredible day. That is the next big thing that is coming. The Spirit's arrival a few thousand years ago, it proved, it showed that God's desire was for all people to hear of His salvation before the day of judgment, when it'll be too late. This particular Pentecost was a pivotal moment in the eternal timeline. Up until this point in time, the Holy Spirit had only come upon certain people at certain times to accomplish certain divine purposes. So what we find as we read throughout the Old Testament. But from this point forward, for them then and for all of us today, God freely gives His Spirit to all who believe in Him. Did you see that emphasis in the text? In verse 17, again, Peter quoting Joel said that God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And listen to the categories within that. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants in those days, I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Believer, there's a comfort for us in here. That if you and I have placed our faith in Jesus' rescue, in his pardon, in his forgiveness, we have been given the Spirit of God. That's incredibly amazing. We have the Spirit of God inside of us. The Holy Spirit is carrying out from within his purposes, his jobs, his roles to comfort us, to teach us, to remind us of all that Jesus taught, to intercede for us. We have been given the Holy Spirit that is available to all who put their faith in Christ. His presence also means that every single one of us who is in him is equipped to testify. You don't need a degree. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. You need two things. You need to be alive, because it's kind of hard to talk to other people if you're dead, so I hear. You need to be alive, and it helps to have a Bible. So that even if you don't know how to explain it, even if you don't know how to say it, you can hand a Bible to someone that you're talking with and let them read for themselves, let them hear for themselves God's words. What we need to testify, to talk about the mighty works that God has done, is to be alive and to have a Bible that we can point people to. You don't need really much more than that. We've been given the Holy Spirit inside to declare, to proclaim what God has already revealed. And that's what it means in this passage to prophesy. You saw that word a couple times. To prophesy is not, in this passage, it's not talking about predicting the future. It's about boldly sharing what God has already declared. It's passing along, it's handing down what God has already given to each one of us. That's what it means to prophesy. It's something that we do today while we wait. Because yes, we're waiting. Again. Once again, we don't know for when. We don't know when the day is going to come. This time, not of the Spirit's arrival, but this time for Jesus' return. We don't know when that's coming, but we're waiting for it. And while we wait, the Spirit has empowered us to testify, because the time to respond to the Spirit, to his purpose, to God's purpose for us is now. Because we don't know when Jesus is going to come back. So it means that the time to respond is now. That doesn't mean that we need to run around screaming, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling." It means, though, that we're intentional. It means that we're actively looking for opportunities that God provides for us to share with one another as believers and with those who don't know Jesus personally yet. It means that we're looking for, we're listening for, we're attentive to opportunities that God provides to us to tell others about his mighty works. We saw in verse 21, God's intent. It shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. People can't call upon the name of one of whom they've never heard, which is why it's so important for us to repeat what we saw in verse 11, for us to tell others in our own tongues, in our own language, within our own people groups, to tell others about the mighty works of God. Maybe you can't do that. Maybe you can't tell others about the mighty works of God because you haven't yet given him control. Maybe, like those that we saw in verse 13, you've tried to explain God away. You've heard of, maybe you've even seen God do amazing things, but we'll find another reason for that. It's alcohol. It's luck. It's fluke. Maybe we look at the world We look at creation, we look at the intricacies of the human body, and we find some other way to try to explain that. Have you ever mocked Christians for their beliefs? Have you ever made fun of them for their lifestyle? Have you ever mocked them when they've tried to share their faith with you? Maybe you've been a mocker in the past, but maybe that's a place where you are now. Listen, even if that's the case, do you see in this passage that God's message of salvation is for you? His gift of forgiveness is for you. There's nothing that you and I have ever done and nothing we could ever do that would disqualify us from receiving his free gift of salvation. God's message is for all people, and even if you have been opposed to these crazy born-again Jesus followers, even if you've gone through life trying to explain God away, even if those you know have done that, listen, God's message of salvation, his pardon, his forgiveness is still freely available to each and every one of us. The time to respond to that is now. I pray that this amazing, true story has gotten your attention. Because the time to respond is now. The time to repent is now. Will you, are you, have you been included among those in verse 21 who have called upon the name of the Lord and found, received, been gifted his salvation? A few weeks ago, we celebrated Christmas. I don't know about you, but growing up as a kid, there was one aspect of Christmas that could be disappointing. It was when you got, you know, as a kid, when you got those really awesome new toys. But on the outside of the box, there were those three words. Batteries not included, right? You just got this awesome gift. You can't wait to play with it. And then, nine AAAs. Oh, come on. We don't have that many around the house. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you've been given a mission, and he included the batteries. Let's be amazed at the Spirit's purposeful arrival and go forth in his power to declare, to talk about, to testify of the mighty works of God that we have personally seen, that others might hear and respond to him. That's our charge. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us this timeless mission. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit who enables us to do that mission, because we cannot do any of these things in our own strength. We cannot testify of you in our own strength. We cannot respond to your free gift of salvation without you first preparing our hearts to humbly yield to you. Lord, wherever each one of us is this morning, in our relationship with you or not in a relationship yet, God, I pray that we would hear you speaking. We would hear your voice cutting through the chaos, the noise, the confusion, and recognize that you are speaking to us in our own language so that we might know you, that we might hear you, that we might respond to you and entrust you with our lives. Thank you, Lord, for this incredible event that we can look back on a couple thousand years later and still be amazed by your purposes and by your Spirit. Jesus, thank you for sending this counselor, this comforter, this interceder, this teacher to reside within each one of us. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Would you stand with us?
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope on earth. Jesus, light in the darkness. Jesus, truth in each circumstance. You are the source of heaven's light on earth. In history, you lived and died. You broke the chains. You rose to life. You are the hope living in us. You are the rock in whom we trust. You are the light shining for all the world to see. You rose from the dead, conquering fear. Our Prince of Peace, drawing us near. Jesus, our hope, living for all who will see. We believe.
Jesus, hope of the nations. Jesus, comfort for all who mourn. You are the source of heaven's hope.
Thank you for being with us today, this morning. Have a great week, and we will see you soon.